بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أيها الناس قد أظلكم شهر عظيم مبارك فيه ليلة خير من ألف شهر وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هو شهر أوله رحمة وأوسطه مغفرة وآخره عتق من النار وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Let us all recite Durood Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim daiman abada ala habibika khairil khalqi kullihimi. Amma ba'd. Ulama-i kiram, respected elders and dear brothers, as the month of Ramadan approached, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed the companions and he delivered a sermon on the various aspects of this great month. In this one sermon that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered right on the approach of the month of Ramadan, he gave seven descriptions regarding the month of Ramadan. The word shahrun, the month, this month, shahrun, seven descriptive words to describe the various facets of the month of Ramadan are given in this narration. Add to that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also given a description of the month of Ramadan in the Holy Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed. In other words, Ramadan شَهْرُ الْقُرْآنِ Ramadan is the month of the Quran. So that is the one description of this month, directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it is the month of the Quran. Allah chose this month for the revelation of this Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose a night in this month, which is known as the night of power, Laylatul Qadr, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran. So Allah chose this month and a night in this month for the revelation of the Quran. So we see from this that there is an inseparable connection between the month of Ramadan and the Holy Quran. And indeed, there are two ibadats in this month of Ramadan, the ibadat of fasting and the ibadat of Taraweeh, which relates to the Holy Quran, the recitation of the Holy Quran in the Salatul Taraweeh. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned regarding these two, As-Sawmu wal-Quran yashfa'an. Allah will give power on the Day of Judgment to these two acts of ibadah to intercede on behalf of His servants. And the fast will intercede and the Quran will intercede. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will possibly personify the fast into the form of a person. The Quran may be personified in the form of a person. And these two will appear before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. And they will intercede. And the intercession will be very, very strong and powerful. And they will intercede on behalf of those who fasted and those who attached themselves to the Quran. That, oh Allah, these people, they used to read Quran. These people used to fast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will listen to this intercession. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant this intercession. In one narration, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to this effect that مَا مِن شَفِيعٍ أَفْضَلُ مَنْزِلَةً عِنْدَ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ لَا نَبِيٌّ وَلَا مَلَكٌ مُقَرَّبٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted such a power of intercession to the Quran on the day of judgment that not even a messenger of Allah nor a chosen and close angel of Allah will have that power of intercession that the Quran will have on the day of judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Quran a means of our intercession on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So my dear friends, Nabi Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referred to this month as the month of the Quran. And therefore, amongst the great acts of ibadah and worship in this month is to dedicate as much time as possible in our days and nights to the Holy Quran. The greatest zikr and the greatest wazifa for the month of Ramadan is indeed the Holy Quran. They were the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who dedicated themselves to the Quran in such a manner in the month of Ramadan, that day and night it was only Quran and reciting Quran, to the extent that they would not meet anyone, they would not greet anyone, they would not speak to anyone, they would not reply to any letters. They would not even take much time for the necessities, even as far as eating was concerned. They even cut down the consumption of food, so that extra amount of time could be given to the recitation of the Quran. And in that manner, they completed many, many, many readings and khatams of the Quran in the month of Ramadan. The famous stories we've heard many a times, but there's no harm in repeating as a reminder of the great imams of this ummah, Imam Ash-Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, one of the four great imams of jurisprudence of this ummah, that it is mentioned that he used to recite 61 Qur'ans in the month of Ramadan. Allahu Akbar. You can imagine how much of attachment and devotion and dedication to the Qur'an. There are many other great personalities who used to make at least a minimum of one khatam per day in the month of Ramadan. So these are narrated or mentioned in order to give us some kind of encouragement that we also make an effort and we try to do our best and try to complete as many readings of the Quran in this month of Ramadan. So that is one aspect. And let us also remember that the rite of the Quran is not just recitation and that is it. There are other great rites of the Quran. One of the great rites of the Quran is to recite it correctly, to make a concerted effort to learn to recite the Quran as it was revealed with the rules and regulations of recitation, which in short is called tajweed. And with a little bit of effort and time, we will be able to master this aspect without much difficulty. But it is a matter of determination. It's a matter of applying ourselves. May Allah give us tawfiq that we make a serious effort to learn to recite the Quran in the correct manner, the correct pronunciation. And that is one out of other rights. One of the great rights of the Quran is that we learn what the message of the Quran is. What is the Quran conveying to us? What is the Quran saying to us? The Quran was not meant to be a book of barakah. It was not meant to be a book just to be recited. Like somebody said, it was not meant for yourself, but it was meant for yourself. The Quran was not meant for yourself, it was meant for yourself. It's not supposed to be kept there for blessings, but it was meant for ourselves. All the sublime teachings of the Quran, all the principles of the Quran, all the guidelines of the Quran, to understand that and to apply it in our day-to-day lives and to live by the Quran and to make the Quran our manual of life, to make the Quran our book of life, our constitution whereby all matters of our life are based upon the teachings of the Quran. This is what the Quran is all about. So this month of Ramadan has a very strong connection with the Holy Quran. So we all should make an effort, inshallah, this Ramadan to recite Quran, recite it correctly, and try to understand the message of the Quran. There's a lot of explanation regarding all of these things, but obviously the time of Jum'ah does not afford us the opportunity to go into a greater explanation. Suffice it to say that alhamdulillah, in this day and age, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the knowledge of the Quran in terms of its translation, its meanings, its commentary widely available for the nations of the world, irrespective of which language and which country they come from, which language they speak. Alhamdulillah, in almost every language of the world, the Quran has been translated. Even the indigenous languages of our country, alhamdulillah, we find the Quran has been translated in the Zulu language. It has been translated in the Xhosa language. It has been translated in Afrikaans and whatever other languages of the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself arranges and raises from his servants those selected ones who make it their mission and passion to serve the Quran by doing translations, by doing commentaries, tafsirs, long tafsir, short tafsirs. There are plenty of tafsirs available. There is no shortage of knowledge. What there is a shortage of is interest. There is a shortage of determination. There is a shortage of importance that needs to be attached to these things. That is where we are falling short. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen our relationship with the Quran, starting from this Ramadan till the end of our life, till our last breath. The fortunate ones who attach themselves to the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored them that even their last moments on earth was with the Quran. Shaykh Abul Hasan Ali An-Nadawi rahmatullah alayhi, one of the great scholars of our recent times, the recent philosopher of Islam, as he was known as, Mufakkirul Islam. Such was his attachment to the Holy Quran, that daily he used to recite Surah Yasin at least 13 times. He loved the surah so much that he would repeatedly recite Surah Yasin. Up to 13 times a day, he would just read Surah Yasin alone, besides what else he recited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him his death It's such a condition that subhanallah, it was the month of Ramadan, and it was the 23rd day of Ramadan, and it was the day of Friday, and it was before the Salatul Jumu'ah, after he had taken a bath and put on his new clothing, and he was sitting and reciting Surah Yasin, and when he came to this particular ayat, فَبَشِّرْهُ بِمَغْفِرَةٍ وَأَجْرٍ كَرِيمٍ, when he came to this particular ayat of Surah Yasin, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives glad tidings of a great reward and forgiveness and entry into paradise, at that particular ayat, his ruh and his soul left his body. Subhanallah. What an enviable death. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam already informed us that kama tamutuna kama tahyun wa tuhsharuna kama tamutun. You will die as you lived in this world. Whatever your primary occupation was, that is the manner in which your death will come. And you will be raised on the day of Qiyamah in the condition in which you die. So imagine these fortunate people, their life was spent with the Quran, Allah caused their death to come with the Quran, and they will be raised on the day of Qiyamah. Imagine Shaykh Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi, the great Imam, even the great Imams of the Haramain used to hold him in the highest esteem. And even in the Friday sermons and khutbahs, they would take excerpts from his writings and books and quote it. I remember many years ago when I went for Hajj or Umrah, I had some books in my luggage, and at the customs, they opened and they said, Mahada, what is this? What are these books? So it so happened that I did have one or two books of Shaykh Abul Hasan Ali al-Nadwi also. And the moment they picked up the book, he said, al-Nadwi! Ruh! Carry on. You got the books of Shaykh Nadwi. Even the custom officials knew the standing of this great personality of Islam. They even said, don't worry, these books, there's no issue. Shaykh Nadwi is such a personality that according to their school of jurisprudence, on the 27th night of Ramadan, both Haramain, Makkah and Medina, they performed the Salatul Janazah in absentia, Salatul Janazah al-Ghaib, Salatul Janazah in absentia upon Shaykh Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullah alayh. This is the singular honor that perhaps no scholar in the recent history of Islam has enjoyed as this great Shaykh has enjoyed, subhanallah. So my dear friends, it is about attaching ourselves to the Quran. Even those people who do not know how to read Quran, it happens sometimes that in the earlier years of your life, you never had an opportunity of going to madrasa class, you didn't have a chance to go to maktab, and you were deprived of the opportunity of learning how to read the Quran. And so now you've gone old in life, and all the years went past, and no real effort or attempt was made to learn to read the Quran. And now a person comes to that age in his life that now even his ability to grasp is gone weak, mental capacity has weakened, but a person is still feeling within his heart that, Ya Allah, what do I do? What is the way forward for me? Am I going to be deprived of the Quran? That I will not be able to read the Quran till the dying moments of my life. Some people try to read the transliteration, but remember, the transliteration can never be equivalent to the Arabic because there are deficiencies in the transliteration. So even at this late age in life, you should never give up. Keep trying. If our mood comes in that condition, at least we will have something to present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, that Ya Allah, I defaulted, I did not carry out my duty as I supposed to towards the Quran, but I still made an effort. And perhaps that will become the means of salvation. But there is an incident that I want to relate about this particular person. He lived in a village, in a farm, never had the chance to really go to madrasa or maktab to learn. And he was a farmer, all his life came out in his farm and his plantation. But he had a sense of guilt and a sense of remorse that I am a Muslim, I should be reading Quran. So he had a habit that every morning he would make wudu, and though he could not read Quran, he would open the Quran, touch the Quran with great respect, hold it with respect, kiss the Quran, place it on his eyes, on his head, show the greatest amount of love, honor and respect to the Quran. Not like the times that we are living in, that so much of disrespect is shown to the Quran in so many ways. Allah forgive us. Like somebody said, they stand side by side, the Holy Quran and the TV guide. We put them all together now. On one shelf, got the Quran Sharif there too, and got every other thing there too. This is not respect for the Quran. Some people put the Quran in the TV cabinet, and those movies, etc., are being played, and Quran is right there. It is not becoming to keep the Quran in such a place. Keep the Quran in a very respectful place, a place away from any kind of possible act that is prohibited, an act that is not allowed. Keep the Quran away from such a place. It is not appropriate to expose the Quran to a sinful environment. That is against the respect of the Quran. So this person used to open the pages of the Quran and used to place his fingers on the lines of the Quran. And he used to say, Hada kalamu Rabbi, Hada kalamu Rabbi, this is the speech of my Allah, this is the speech of my Allah, because he couldn't read. That's all he used to do. Quite a lot of time he used to spend turning pages of the Quran, passing his finger over the pages of the Quran. Then he would kiss the Quran, put it in its juzdan, in its cover, and he would place it respectfully. It so happened that he passed away, and on some occasion the grave of this person opened up, maybe because of heavy rain or something, and the people of that locality, they were astounded to find that in his grave he was lying within a bed of flowers. All around him were beautiful flowers, very fragrant, and his body was in between these flowers in the grave. So they inquired from the ulama of that area, that could you explain this reason? Because as far as we knew, this person was not so pious or so learned, etc., could not even read Quran. They asked the family, and the family said, yes, he could not read Quran, but one thing, he held the Quran in the highest reverence, and this was his daily practice. The ulama said, it is on the basis of this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored him. So we can see from this, my dear friends, that even for those people who are unable to read, I say again, make the effort, try, but all is not lost. Show the respect to the Quran. Show some attachment to the Quran. That alone could become the means of salvation of a person. Nevertheless, I will very quickly round up. As I mentioned, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned 7 descriptions of the month of Ramadan. Shahrun azimun mubarakun. A very, very great month. A very blessed month. A month of great barakah. Allahu Akbar. That alone needs an explanation. Thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Shahrun fihi laylatun khayru min al-fishar. A month in which comes a night that is greater than 1,000 nights or 1,000 months. And obviously this was reference to Laylatul Qadr. Imagine before Ramadan even started, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about Laylatul Qadr to create the enthusiasm and zeal and desire in the heart that we should search for Laylatul Qadr. May Allah grant us Laylatul Qadr this year. Shahrun wa shahrun sabr, the month of sabr and patience. This needs a lengthy explanation, there isn't time. Shahrul Muasat, a month of sympathy and solidarity with the poor, a month of charity and generosity towards the poor. And remember, the poor people don't only need grocery hampers in the month of Ramadan. MashaAllah, we see people want to give the poor people, and they feel the only way to help the poor is to give grocery hampers. So we find that one family gets 10, 15 grocery hampers, the house is full of grocery hampers, but what about the other needs of the poor people? So let us be strategic in the way we go about our charities. Let us be wise in the way we assist the people. Assisting the poor is not just by giving out grocery hampers. That is one amongst the ways. The ideal is for every family to adopt one or two poor families and say, this is part of my extended family. And I will visit their home and I will see their needs and I will assist them in whichever way Allah has made it possible for me to assist them. So it will not be that people come knocking to our doors and we give them and we forget about them and they are out of sight, out of mind, and we carry on with our life. But if every family adopts two or three poor families and make it their duty to go to their door rather than them coming to our door. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ni'mal amir ala babil faqir." The best of wealthy people are those people who go to the door of the poor. They are the best of wealthy people who go to the door of the poor. Why are they going to the door of the poor? Obviously, they don't want anything from them. They're going to give them. They're going to assist them. And they're maintaining their self-respect and dignity at the same time. So if we adopt this policy, then there won't be need to give out grocery hampers ad hoc that some people don't get at all and others get so much they don't know what to do with it and they have to go and sell it. Let us be wise and strategic. And it is time, the month of Ramadan is the month in which we should be connecting with the poor people. There are many other ways, but time is not on my side. So I will leave it at that point. And my dear friends, many other aspects have been mentioned. In conclusion, I wish to state that we are all aware of an incident that took place yesterday in our very province. And indeed, any place of worship that is attacked by anyone is worthy of condemnation, whether it is a masjid, a church, a synagogue, a mandir. In Islam, there's absolutely no room whatsoever for anyone to attack a place of worship. That is condemned by all. And so, this is not the teachings of Islam. This is not the way of Islam. And a true Muslim can never be guilty of perpetrating an act of attacking a place of worship. So we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all the places of worship. Protect our masajid. Protect the musallis. Protect the muslimin. And safeguard the ummah from trials and tribulations. This month of Ramadan is coming. This is the month in which we need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In repentance for all our mistakes, we need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in supplication and dua to ask for the betterment of the ummah, to ask for goodness for the ummah, to ask for protection of the ummah. internationally, we know the condition of the Muslim Ummah. In one single word, we can say, summarize it, it's, the Ummah is in a mess. In one single word. What is happening all over? All over, there's no good news that is coming. Every day is just bad news and sad news. Now is the time to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the month of Ramadan is coming. May Allah make this Ramadan the best Ramadan that we have had. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this Ramadan a life transforming month for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this month a month in which we undergo a complete transformation and we emerge out of this month as much better Muslimin and much stronger mu'mineen than what we were before the onset of the month of Ramadan. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.